This is Whistled, written by Dawn Duhamel, read for you by Dawn Duhamel. Introduction. I've always been drawn to stories of athletes from remote places who, without money or sponsors, become world-class champions. I'll never tire of reading about people who lift themselves up after being left behind. I've pored over many books about war, not because I'm interested in the chess game of outsmarting the enemy, but because I can't read enough about the brotherhood that develops when people are raw, scared, and in a seemingly unwinnable situation. That's when amazing things happen. I'm in awe of people who display incredible will and recovery. I never thought of myself that way. But now, I think differently. I've never been on the front line of enemy engagement, but I have felt the sting of being taken down. I'm not an artist that suppressed her innate talent in favor of a law degree, but I understand what it means to have a caged heart. My story is simple. I left the small business environment where I had been for 10 years to return to a public entity. I had a hideous experience. Broken and depressed, I searched for happiness, unable to find it. After 2 years of faking it to everyone around me, I lifted my veil of shame. I decided to tell my story, embarrassing as it was, to a few people. I received a phone call from a magazine publisher who had heard my story. She found it unbelievable. She asked me if I would share it as a speaker at a national women's conference she was organizing. I wasn't sure I could handle the emotional surge that would surely overtake me if I revealed my secrets publicly. Could I be that vulnerable? I said yes before I chickened out. I said yes because, well, it was a story that needed to be told. A few months later, I took to the stage and gave my speech, quivering as I shared details. I spoke for 40 minutes. I was fierce in my declarations. I thanked everyone for listening, and then something unexpected happened. All 200 people in the room stood up. A standing ovation. I held back the tears, but not the happiness. As I walked down the stairs and headed to my seat, I was approached by many women who said, "I thought I was the only one who felt like I was nowhere after I got fired. Thank you for making me realize I'm not alone and that I will not be defined by someone else's decision." That's when I decided to write this book. Chapter 1, Miami. I started high school a month late. My parents were looking for a change in their life, so my dad requested a transfer from Maryland, where my brother and I were born and raised, to Miami, Florida. It happened quickly, and we left behind sparkly, snow-covered winters, the best blue crabs in the world, and every family member I'd ever known. In return, we found palm trees, stone crabs, and a culture struggling between an increasingly growing Cuban influence and Caucasian natives demanding that residents speak English. I was a white, preppy East Coaster dropped into a world where things called Japs existed. I had no idea what the term meant. I had never heard of it other than as a derogatory term used in old war movies to describe someone of Japanese descent. I heard it in the halls of Killian High School in South Miami. JAP stands for Jewish American Princess. What? A Jewish princess? Here in my school? When can I meet one? The Jewish part was just as exciting to me as the princess part, but both together? I couldn't wait. I was disappointed to learn that JAP was just a way of classifying a Jewish girl whose parents had a lot of money and spent it lavishly on their daughter, including purchases like sports cars and rhinoplasty. Who knew? At 14 years old, I thought every girl's nose was the one she'd always had. I'd never met someone willing to pay money to change their child's facial features. Wouldn't that make them sort of a cheater? Aren't we supposed to love what God gave us, especially if we were born in His likeness? Wasn't that what they said in church? At my high school, if you were labeled a Jap, you were rich, overconfident, and lacking in self-awareness. I thought it was such a strange way of branding, and especially perplexing considering the large population of Jewish students at my high school, all of whom used the descriptor freely. This was my introduction to Miami, high school, and a new world order. I was outside of my white bread bubble, and I loved it.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?